cliffcentral.com.
Good morning, good morning. You're on the Weekly Mashup. My name is Timusha Masha, and I do not travel alone. I have got the most gorgeous, the most amazing, the most intelligent, the wisest. She's such an amazing cook and an excellent dancer, an amazing singer of a co-host. Here's Candace.
That was a bit of an overkill. 80.
How are you doing?
I'm good. How are you? That was making up for lost time.
Yeah,
even though you added so many lies. You're like amazing cook, amazing singer. And all the listeners know I don't know how to cook.
You don't know though. You
and
don't,
I can't sing. Yeah. So I think they might think you're lying about everything.
No, well,
but it's okay. I feel like that's what you're going
amazing
for.
Is true.
Obviously.
Gorgeous is true, right? Just everything else is like made up.
Whatever.
So how are you doing today?
I'm great, T, but obviously not as great as you are. I mean, you got a six pack and everything.
I got a six pack. I got a tan.
And you?
You know, I've been running, so I'm getting nice and tan. Can I tell you a story?
Okay.
Last year I went to New York, right, for the Emmys.
Yeah.
So in the goodie bag, they've got this self-tanning product that you just use in the shower. Okay.
This does not sound like it's going to
end. So I was like, you know what? I don't know if they noticed that, like, we're not all in need of a tan, but nonetheless, this is obviously a very expensive gift.
Yes.
And I thought, let me just use it for a while, see how it works. Because, you know, sometimes a brother wants to look like a brother. You know what I mean?
You don't look like a brother right now?
No, sometimes I feel like I've been told that I could be a few shades more brother-like.
Really? Like Tyrese brother-like?
Yeah. Because, like, you know, those guys are getting all the love at the moment. So I was like, if I tanned, me and Tony would be like, I'd be right there with him, right?
Really?
So yeah. So that's what I decided.
Okay.
You know, I was going for that Shuby look, you know.
Are you gonna name everyone?
Name everyone. Every single dark person out there, every
who
dark indie who's like
a liking
who's
towards
hot
you
right now.
What?
Oh, who doesn't like me? Oh, okay. It's probably because I'm not dark enough for that. All right. And so I realized, you said I look kind of hungover. I'm not. I'm just like tanning.
You're tanned.
Yeah, I'm tanned.
So you're saying the darker you are, the more hungover you
know? No. I'm not saying that. I'm saying when I tried it, like, it didn't work for me. So if you're out there and you get tanning lotion, don't use it.
So you tried it last night?
I've been trying it for weeks.
Why?
I told you why.
Okay, I'm not seeing the difference, I have to tell you.
You can't see the difference?
Maybe it's in your abs. It all went like down to your abs.
Did you see my abs?
I did.
Yeah,
Instagram saw your abs.
Instagram saw my abs. I drew those on myself.
Did you draw them?
Yeah,
I did. I didn't even identify the permanent marker.
No, you didn't really see that. It was a good drawing.
It was a little skew. But I was like,
I was
going
to get
my
5-year-old nephew to do it, but he started it and it wasn't looking so good. So I thought...
And then you pose for a picture, right?
Yes.
So this was a long thought out process. So you stood in front of the mirror, you took a permanent marker, you drew on your abs.
I'm not sure what your point is.
And then you, no. And then you edited it. So this was not like a quick, you know, this is a bad idea. I'm not going to post this. This was just like,
I'm going to go with this all the way.
I'm going to go with it. Well, good for you.
Yeah.
They call it visualization.
But you see, I just thought, you know what? I'm giving hope not only to myself, but to all the others. Besides, you know how it is when you start working out and you feel like you look like Siv and Gezi. And then you look in the mirror, but you look like me.
I'm not going to comment on that because you are leading me down a trap.
Listen, guys, I'm very excited. Like, I'm very excited about today's show. Like, you have got to stay tuned into today's show because one of the greatest international speakers, if you've never heard this guy speak, it's probably because your job is not that great. He only speaks for like the high-end executives. I'm sorry to say it like that, but it's true. Like, he only speaks for the high-end executives, you know, the CEOs. If you haven't bought a book, you really need to buy one of his books.
Yeah.
This is an aspirational, I don't know if I can say product, but he's an aspirational speaker.
To listen to.
Like, if you go and see him, you know you've arrived. Like, you know you're somebody.
Oh, it's like that status symbol. Like a BMW for black folks.
Exactly. He's like a BMW for
corporate.
Well, for people in business, corporate and life who want to make it, right? That's what he is. So Justin is going to be with us today and we're going to talk to him in a few. But before we get into that, there are a couple of things that happened this week that were very interesting. Praveen got called back for no reason, apparently. It was one of those,
shocker,
like, you're having fun in London and Europe, you're traveling, you're spending too much money, you're shopping, come back.
You look healthy.
You look healthy.
We don't like this.
Yeah, we don't like that. And then the guy who called him back was not, like, that's when you know people don't like you. Like, you know, you can go to anyone's funeral.
Yeah.
You can go, like, you are not, you have an invitation according to black culture. And I think Indian culture is the same, right?
Yeah.
If you know that,
if I met you once, I'm allowed at your funeral.
And you heard that I was getting buried. Yeah. You're allowed to be there.
Yes.
You, like, you are invited. I don't even have
if to, anything, it's an obligation. It's rude for you not to be there.
And then they tell you, please don't come to this funeral. We're asking you, just like of all the people in the whole country, you please don't come to this
just
one.
To show respect.
Yeah, just to show respect. Rakupela, please.
Yeah, yeah.
Don't come. Mm-hmm. Candy, mm-hmm. We don't want you here.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's what happened this week.
Yes.
And then, of course, someone that I've always respected and loved and admired as a father figure in the industry, Joe Mafela, was put to rest at West Park Cemetery.
Yeah, that was
and you know, I'm still saddened by his sudden passing, but I'm so grateful that I got to spend some time with him.
Yeah.
And I remember we were going to New York because we were at the Emmys together, and you know, sometimes guys don't be that guy.
Mm.
I was that guy for a moment because we flew together.
Yes,
right.
Yes.
So we were
I'm like waiting which
yeah,
guy
yeah, yeah 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 we were stuck at Dubai for a bit, you know, in transit. And the young people were like, yeah, but we want to go now and then have a good time. And, you know, who's going to tell Prajo that, you know, we're going to go without him and stuff, right?
Yeah.
And even in New York, like, we went out to dinner with him. Like, we tried to hang out with him as much as we could. But we did get that ageism that was creeping in. Because one night we were clubbing.
Yeah.
And we're like, after dinner, Prajo, we've got a cab for you that's going to take you back to the hotel.
Yeah.
Because we're going to go clubbing. I wish we'd actually just gone clubbing with him.
You should have. It would have had. You would have had some epic memories.
We would have.
Or maybe you would have just declined.
But I'm also glad that we got to spend some time because we had breakfast with him, we had lunch with him, we had dinner every day.
Yeah.
Just to hang out, you know. So I feel good about that.
But I mean, he was in so many of our homes. I mean, I never had the privilege of meeting him, but I remember watching his Goodies Nice.
Mm.
You know, and he was just that guy.
He was just that guy.
He's like the Derek Watts of black culture, like as a young kid, you know.
Derek Watts.
You saw Derek Watts.
Not very funny.
No, because you saw Derek Watts and you're like, it's back to school. You know,
on Sunday.
Like every time I see Derek, he takes me back to the day.
Because Goodies Nice was always on a Sunday night.
Yes, yes.
And you knew as Goodies Nice is playing, it's almost time to go to bed. Oh, Lordy.
Yes, yes.
Wow, okay.
You see?
Yeah.
So I thought this through.
And then we went to watch the movie Life.
We did.
Yeah, so...
And you learned some life lessons from
it. I learned some life lessons from that movie. You know, I thought it was a great film, actually.
It was
although
good.
It was like, where are we going with this? And then it ended. They're making a lot of those these days.
I know,
right?
I know.
Hmm.
That, like, cliffhanger thing.
Yeah.
Like, you're like,
Do you think it's got anything to do with the fact that Cliff Central is there?
Maybe. Okay. I think it was just for us. They literally did it just
actually,
for
before
us.
We get into that, speaking of which, Touch is now going to be starting Touch HD. I don't know if you were at the launch. I was at the launch. I didn't see you there.
I wasn't invited, so obviously.
Oh, yeah, okay.
Well, yeah, I feel like you were just throwing that in there.
Celebrities,
but it's okay.
And famous people there. So I guess maybe that's why I was invited. I don't know why you weren't. I don't know. But anyway, it was great.
Wow, okay.
He's doing big things, and I'm proud of him. And I just wanted to give a shout out. Just a side note.
Yes.
Touch. And the rest
congrats,
of his team.
Touch.
To say,
we're going to miss you.
Congrats, guys. We are going to miss you. Yeah, we're going to miss... I'm going to miss you guys, Kat. Don't leave. And the rest of the team that side.
I love
leave.
That you were just like Kat and the rest of the team.
Yeah, Kat and the rest of the team. They know who they are. Anyway, what were your life lessons from life?
Well, I think let's start with yours because mine were very hard to decipher.
No, I
want to
hear yours. Come on.
Yeah, because my phone went black. But, even thinking about it, because, you know, we went to the preview and watching a movie with a team is always fun because everyone is narrating in the background, you know, like watching. And there's no one that's going to scream, shush, I paid for the ticket, because no one paid for the ticket.
Yeah, it was all free. Shut up. It was free. Come back when you can pay for your own ticket.
Exactly. But the one thing I actually learned from that movie is let go of things that are not meant for you. Like,
nice.
And so for me, like, I mean, I don't want to give away the whole plot of the movie because a lot of people still have to go see it. But I think, you know, sometimes you get so attached to something that you stop seeing it for what it really is, whether that's a relationship, business, you know, whatever.
Ah.
You stop seeing it for
and
what
then
it really
is.
And then before you know it, now you're in the dumps and you're like, how did I get here? Because you didn't want to let go.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
I think that's what I really
this
learned
thing
from
was
it.
Attacking you and you were like, no.
Because it doesn't attack you like all at once, right? Mm. It starts off subtly and you're like, oh, I'm going to give it a chance. You know, I'm going to give it a chance. Mm. And then next thing you know, you're like in the rut because you're fully in it now. You're committed.
Yeah.
And it might kill you.
Wow.
Yeah.
I wish you had spoken at my first wedding.
Well, I'll try and speak at this one. At the new one, the third one.
The third one. Time, lucky.
That's
charm.
A charm.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. So here's what I learned, because that's the only thing. That was it.
I
asked you for three.
You did. But you know what? I feel like I did a lot of heavy lifting for this particular show.
The dog dog ate your homework?
What? No. I just feel like I already contributed so much to the show by bringing someone who you were like having a complete meltdown for. So I was just like, you know, I'll do that one for
Justin
you.
I thought Justin and I were tight, but clearly.
Well, clearly not tight enough.
Yeah, not tight enough for me to get him on the show. You just come along next time he's on the show.
Pretty awesome. That's right.
Yeah. All right, well, you know, let me show how awesome I am. Three things I learned from the movie life.
Honestly, I agree with yours.
Just to give you a premise of what the movie's about, if you're listening right now and you're like, what are they on about? The movie Life stars Jake Gyllenhaal, Ryan Reynolds, and some
and
other people
we
don't know.
I was just
but
like,
they were
yes.
good. They were good.
They were good. They were.
Okay. And it's about these astronauts who go out in outer space and they pick up a pod that came from Mars and it has some soil samples. Mm-hmm. And in that soil sample is a cell.
Yes.
A living organism from Mars. They bring it to life somehow, right? Mm-hmm. And after they bring it to life, this thing just goes, it runs like... What's the word I'm looking for? Rampant.
It causes a lot of trouble.
It causes havoc on a spaceship. You can understand. Like, you're not going anywhere. You're on a spaceship. You can't just say, I'm out.
Like, okay? I'm just going to go back to Earth now. So.
And it pretty much chows everybody. You know, that's
well, I feel
premise.
Like you're giving away the whole movie.
No, you can still go and enjoy it after I've given this away. It's okay. So what did I learn from that? Like, this organism was called Calvin. For me, I'm just going to call it Life because that's what this movie's about, right?
Yes.
So for me, I learned like life is never random. It's by design and it's always waiting for you to make it happen. So these guys got this organism.
Okay.
And they thought it was just random.
Yes, but
they had to work because they had to feed it. They had to give it sunlight.
Find out what kind of conditions. Exactly.
And it happened. It started to happen. It started coming alive. Mm-hmm. Right? If you just look at it as how it is, because we think this organism became an enemy. No, it wasn't. It was like life.
Yeah.
So and like life, number two is life doesn't care about your plans. It's going to happen how it's going to happen. So you better fall in line or die.
Wow. That is not pessimistic at all.
No, it's not. No, it's not.
Okay, no, wait. So when you say life is going to happen, don't you think we have some degree of control of what happens to us based on the decisions we make
and
choices?
We have some degree of control, but we can only hope that the things we've planned work out. At the end of the day, if you're always expecting the things that you plan to work out, life is going to surprise you. It's going to bite you in the ass.
Well, I think if you're planting good seeds, good things will happen.
That's why I say you got to fall in line.
And prepare for... You can prepare for the bad.
That's why I said fall in line.
Yeah, because you kind of said you're going to die. So I just had to like rectify. Like you went so extreme, I had to bring us back to the middle.
You've only got two options. Fall in line with life or die.
Or die. Well,
like they could have cooperated with life. They could have been like life wants to eat.
No,
it
was. No, it was. No, no, no. You see, for the movie I watched, clearly, you know, we're a bit off here. But the movie I watched, life was not having it. Like life was just like, look, I'm tired of being in this little cage. I'm just going to kill you.
No.
So that's what...
You saw life differently. You see, we see life differently.
that's a lesson.
Yeah, there's a lesson.
That's a lesson.
I see life as, look, life is going to do what life is going to do.
Okay, so do you think with a little more nurturing, life would have not attacked us and killed us?
What they should have done is decided, look, this thing's going to kill us. We either need to draw straws or take out the weakest one by one and feed it to life until we get back down to earth and leave life up here.
You know what I mean? That could have worked. Well done.
That's what I would have.
Yeah, no, that could have worked.
Yeah. And like, finally, life is going where life is. So if you're not going with life, you're going nowhere. Huh? Right? I don't want to give away the rest of the plot. But
need you to elaborate on that.
Life wants to go to Earth.
Well, life just wants
where
to survive.
Where life is happening. Yeah.
Yeah.
Because it doesn't want to be in space.
Yeah.
There's nothing in space.
It's like, I'm tired of this shit.
Yeah. So it wants to go back down.
Yeah.
Right? So what happens in the end? The astronaut that's traveling with life gets to Earth.
No, wow.
The astronaut that's not is going nowhere.
Well, he didn't exactly get to Earth in one piece. You know what I'm saying?
He got there. He was still alive.
He was alive enough to tell them not to open the damn thing. And then they were like, we're just going to open it because you look like you're suffocating and you want to tell us
it
something.
It looked like seafood. Just say it.
It looked disgusting.
They were like, you know, it was like, I don't know if they landed in Phuket or whatever. I'm not going to racially stereotype
Chinese,
them.
Japanese,
they were either in Taiwan or Thailand. Yeah. They looked Asian.
Yes.
So you know how Asians are with seafood.
Yeah.
You know, they
couldn't have landed in Africa.
Like, and they want to eat it. They were like, we're going to eat this thing. And meantime, life is going to eat you.
Oh my.
They thought, Parlemoon!
No, racial profiling at all.
It's not Parlemoon, Chinese people. It's just, okay, anyway, that's what I learned from life.
Okay, yeah, well done on learning those things. I did not get most of that.
Okay.
I was just like...
Life will happen to you, don't worry.
Yeah, I think life was more just like an ex-boyfriend that just didn't want to let go. It was like, it's either me and you or...
Yeah, that ate your face.
Pretty much. Pretty much.
So all right. Well, you know what? Without further ado.
Yes.
I do.
Do you want to do the round of applause?
You know what? No, hang on. Oh, here we go. this is a lot harder than it looks, okay? I mean, you come try this.
He's pressing some buttons,
guys. I'm pressing some buttons. I'm not just sitting
here. It's not like brain surgery, but you know, it's buttons to be pressed.
Here we go. Ladies and gentlemen, I present to you.
Oh, do I say the name?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
He's your friend.
Justin Cohen.
Wow.
Thank you, studio audience.
This is very good for the ego. That virtual studio audience. I can see them. I can make the images in my own head. And there are thousands and thousands of them.
You're used to that, though. I mean, you usually speak on the big stages.
Well, listen, after your introduction to Misha, I cannot wait to hear what I have to say. What was that? Like, if you have never heard Justin Cohen, you have not made a shitty job.
Yeah.
I mean, it's like
they're not going anywhere.
Yeah.
Guys.
Yeah. Just to be clear, that is absolutely true. So,
just clarification.
So, listen, I was under the impression that we are from the same alumni, because when I was still at Vitz many, many years ago, you used to be there a lot, and you were there hanging out with all the good looking famous people, you know, the guys who were directing. So I was like, okay, this guy's one of those senior guys, you know. And I was like, we're kind of friends, because like you kind of looked at me one time when you were standing with Brendan, but clearly, you know, you were just like looking behind you. You didn't go to Vitz.
Yeah, this is what I find so amusing. Just listeners, bear this in mind, because this is not a joke. I walk in here, Tamisha's just like, dude, so great to see you again. I mean, geez, remember the old days at Vitz, you know, when we were studying together? I was like, dude, what are you talking about? I mean, study together. Now, what I want you to know, and I think this is a bit of a shout out to the Fees Must Fall movement as well, because this is essentially what university is, and you can get it a lot cheaper than a university. The reason Tamisha actually thought that I went to university with him was because he didn't actually go to any lectures.
Oh, okay.
He never saw that I actually wasn't in the lecture hall, because I went to Rhodes. But because I had a lot of friends at Vitz, I was there for a lot of social engagements. And he was like, you must have been there, because I saw you at all the events, because those are the ones I went to, right? Those are the social ones.
Yeah,
right?
I attended those.
So really, you can get it a lot cheaper elsewhere. You don't need, you can just come in. In fact, that's it. I went to Vitz for free.
Yeah. Can I just say in my defense, I thought you were one of the senior guys. You know, you were like those guys in fourth year, and I was like,
you're a baby, you know? Is that what it is? Yeah. Now he's trying diplomatically to get out of this, but he's actually telling me that I look a lot older than him.
Not anymore. I mean, lately, you know, you work it out.
Well, there's that six pack of yours.
Yeah, well,
I've got to compete against.
I've got to draw mine on. Yeah. You So tell me, just how did you go from there, right? I mean, what did you study at Rhodes?
Well, firstly, before I do, can I just say to both of you that I've done one or two interviews in my life. That was such an entertaining banter. Honestly, it was so funny. It was so cool. I was. By the way, when I was looking at my phone, it wasn't because I was kind of trying to catch up on messages.
Yeah, you're like,
I was actually just posting, and I was saying, I'm with Tamisha and Candace, and it's just that is laugh out loud funny. It's just such cool banter. You guys have got a good thing going.
Man. Thank you so much.
So don't mess it up.
She did look at Tamisha when she said that, just in case you thought she meant me. But I could very clearly mess up. This is, you know, threesomes can go very wrong. You know, when you've really got a good thing one-on-one.
You got that kind of experience.
And you know, it's often just better in fantasy than reality. You know? I mean, this isn't necessarily from experience that I'm speaking
from. Yeah, not necessarily.
But can I tell you a very weird thing? Sorry, I know you asked me another question, but because we've got
such
easier.
We'll get back to that, don't worry.
So I noticed, have you noticed Donald Trump does this thing? And I know this is radio, not TV, so I've got to be careful. But he does this thing. I don't know if you can describe it to listeners like this.
It's like the three fingers up and the index and the thumb touching.
There's a Facebook emoticon right?
So,
and he does it often with his elbows in, and it's like...
It's like fabulous.
It's fabulous. It's kind of camp, isn't it? Yeah. It's like a little camp.
A little.
So the weirdest thing is, so here the thing is, and I've got into trouble for saying this before, because you have to remember the world is a big place, a lot less than half voted in America for Trump, but I happen not to be the greatest fan of Trump. And the weird thing is, I don't know what it is, because I watch a lot of political news and a lot of political comedy. I was doing a presentation today. In fact, just 400. I swung to 400 accountants. Those are the guys with great jobs, clearly, because they got me in to do their keynote.
They were like chartered accountants, not just accountants.
No. They're newly minted, by the way. Oh, they're PwC. They've just been newly minted. I was like, these guys look like they're just out of high school. I think I'm a bit older. That older people now look a lot younger because I'm so, it's like a relative thing. Anyway, I was on stage and admittedly I was like, it was a lot of energy. I had an hour presentation that I had to do in 45 minutes, which means you just fast forward. No, you really shouldn't do that. But sometimes you just like, and I found myself doing the Donald Trump thing.
Really?
Okay. And I'm like, hey, this has got into my head without me knowing.
Over.
Donald has somehow done a, you know, he's gone into my head. It's odd, isn't it? And it's the power of how we pick up gestures and expressions without even knowing it. I was like, and the funny thing is, I didn't feel like Donald Trump. I actually just felt really camp. But I realized like I was, you know, Donald Trump.
Yeah. So. But tell me something. Do you think that as human beings, we pick up the negative things or things that we don't like from people or things we like from negative people or whatever?
No, no.
More than we do from people we like.
Totally. Listen, it's both.
Really?
It's really both. So this is what people don't get. We think of ourselves as these self-contained individuals. Mm. I am my own self and nobody is going to change that. I make my own choices. We do not. I'm doing the thing.
Yeah, I know. You were like,
I did a Donald Trump. Okay, I'm going to stop that right now. I'm going to sit on my hands right now. I'm sitting on my fingers. So there's a part of the brain called the mirror neuron network, right? So we literally mirror emotion. You know how negative people bring you down, happy people make you feel happy. So how's this? More than just emotion, and I think we've all felt that. If your friend becomes obese, you have a nearly, and I'll give you the exact figure because it's so astonishing, 171% increased chance of becoming obese yourself.
171%.
I know that mathematically that's a bit weird because you think you're going to get 100. What that means is like nearly
you are definitely probably going to get
No.
Well done, Candy.
But the truth
you influenced me.
But that figure is a little bit deceptive. It doesn't mean you've got a massive increase. It doesn't mean you're going to. It doesn't mean you can blame your friend because they put on weight. Now you're going to put on weight. The truth is, if your friend becomes depressed, you've got a bigger chance of becoming depressed. If your friend becomes healthy and fit and energized, and so that's why you've got people like Anthony Robbins, who's really a big hero of mine, you know, who'd say the single most important ingredient of your well-being and success. And I'm not sure that I entirely agree with him, but I think it's a big enough statement coming from a man like him to repeat: is your peer group. You know, it takes the African proverb. It takes a village to bring up a child. Okay. So you want to choose who you hang out with because, you know, those people have such an enormous impact on how you feel and what you do.
Associations matter. And in fact, I'm going to take it back then to my first question. My first question, because honestly, I must say this. While I was at Fitz, I was a young and impressionable actor. And I was hanging out with guys who were in the senior class, you know, Brandon Orett, and Brandon Policat, sorry. Brandon Orett, I met later at EC Dingo. Johnny Barbuzano, Somla Dandalas. Those guys were a little bit ahead of me. You were around them as well. And just that association helped me think differently to the first years that I was with at the time, because what it helped me with is I jumped like that cue, if you will, and got to a point where I felt like my life is going in a different direction because of the people I'm hanging out with. So to take you back to that first question then, what did you study at Rhodes and how did you get where you are right now?
So, you know, the reason you and I have this connection is because I actually studied, I went to art school before university and I studied drama at art school. So that was my entry into the drama world. But my love was always personal development and psychology. So I studied psychology at Rhodes.
Yeah.
And in fact, I did part of my degree through UNISA.
Okay.
We had financial difficulties and I couldn't really continue. So I did my first year at Rhodes and then I went to UNISA. And by the way, for me, this is also important. I don't know why I keep on bringing up fees must fall.
But
I got to tell you something. I love Rhodes and any Rhodians out there. I love the university. I love the ethos. But honestly, you want to know the truth? I got more bang for my buck. Because first UNISA was a lot cheaper. As I say, I couldn't afford Rhodes anymore. Went to UNISA. I got so much more academic value out of UNISA.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Not the social value of being at the university. Not the parties. Yeah. I didn't get that. But let me tell you something. The real value of when I woke up, I had my head in my books. It was beautifully constructed. I love UNISA, you know. And I did actually go back to Rhodes. I did my honors at Rhodes. I like that university experience. But I honestly think anybody cannot afford to go to university should really look at correspondence. And you know what? To say I don't have the discipline, if this is important to you, if this is your purpose, if this is your life, this is what you go out and do.
Yeah.
You know, I think, yeah, as I say, I don't know where we should get started on this.
Have you always been self-disciplined? Have you always been someone who has driven, motivated yourself?
I mean, I suppose, you know, I really struggled at school. So I was not, and school was, you know, you know, at the schools, you know, part A at schools, and I don't know if much has changed in terms of the general sort of ethos of the school, it was a very kind of quite a militaristic sort of, so you either had to be good academically or good
sports.
At sports.
Yeah.
You know, and sports, you know, Jews and sports have never been a combination for success. You know, I took a defensive strategy. Get back, stay back, and try not to die.
Yeah,
you know,
and
academically, I was really not great either. So school was very tough, and it was a very harsh, militaristic environment.
Where did you go to school?
I went to Norwood Primary School.
Oh, okay.
Then my big awakening was art school. You know, so art school was fantastic because basically art school was for girls, and it was easier for me.
All right.
Wow.
No, that's let me just say it wasn't for girls, but the ratio was pretty impressive. It was like one guy to six, seven girls.
Oh, so I joke. Your eyes literally just went into heaven.
No, it was pretty phenomenal.
And it was those girls as well. Those girls who were art.
Which ones?
You know what I'm talking about. Yeah, but I never went to art school. I always like wished I went to a boys' school my whole life.
Scarred. I would have struggled there. Wait, which boys' school did you go to?
I went to Whips in St. Albans. So if you were talking militaristic, it was like penitentiary with privilege.
Really?
You know what I mean? You are like rich, but you are with criminals, like really rich psychos.
Oh, so like where Oscar's being kept now?
Yeah,
okay.
I was with the Oscar Pistorius of the world. Really. They've gone on to become captains of industry and some such things.
Yeah.
Now,
wow.
Yeah. So if you're wondering why our world is being raped and pillaged, that's where they learned it. But look, I mean, let's give people more of what it is that you do. So just tell us about your latest book. Just a little bit about that.
So the truth is that the latest project that I'm working on, you know, I've written many books.
Yeah.
I've written 4 books, 7 books. I'm addicted to writing books. I just got to get addicted to selling them. And the last book I wrote was a novel called Quest Inc.,
which was amazing.
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah, it's
thank
one of my
you.
Favorites, actually. You should get it.
It was really. In fact,
I was going to bring
I've
it for
a,
you.
I've got a copy in the car. I'll get
wow.
you a copy.
Thank
I'd love you.
You
to have a copy. I mean, so for me, that was a. So that book was probably. I shouldn't be telling listeners this. It was probably my biggest failure. And it took me 5 years to write that book. It's a novel.
Yeah.
And fiction is a lot tougher. And you know, my love for theater I always wanted to take personal development messaging and put it in story. So I actually based that on a TV series. I saw Grey's Anatomy. I was like looking at the show and saying, is Grey's Anatomy, it's all about what? You know, a lot of these shows, it's doctors or nurses or policemen.
Yeah.
What about a show about high-end coaches, life coaches, you know, and seeing every episode, you'd see these diverse range of people and the lives that they change.
That's a show we should make.
And well, exactly. I mean, I'd love to make it. And in fact, you would not remember Donovan Marsh from it. So Donovan, who's really done well. In fact, you guys should have him on the show. He's going to be in South Africa shortly. Donovan created all the Spud movies. So he wrote and directed all of them. He's also now in Hollywood. He's just made a major, oh my gosh, it's like a $50 million movie with, I'm not a big Hollywood official. Shinada, so I don't know these people like Gary Oldman. Gary Oldman is like the minor player, seriously, in this movie. What's the other guy's name? Gerard Butler.
Small accent.
So it's like
no one knows
exactly.
Him.
So you must have Don on the show because you'll reconnect.
I have Don because he's here in a couple of years.
Of course you did. I know you know. So he's here in a couple of weeks. Well, let's. But so anyway, so Don and I are old friends, and he saw what I was doing with this book and said, let's do a series. So we actually created a pilot, which he's got, and we're working on. You know how long and slow that process is. But, you know, that's whether it'll happen or not. You know, one of the things you realize, anything you do, you better be damn passionate about it because, the most recent project is a project which is actually on TV tonight called Gurus on CNBC Africa. That's at 9:15 p.m. And that's where, ironically, it's actually quite funny. I've just realized this. Fact is that we changed, the name of the book is Quest Inc. We changed it to Gurus, actually.
Wow. That's
the fictional gurus.
That sounds.
Yeah, it is. Who are the gurus?
Yeah.
And what you really see is, you know, how flawed the gurus are. Because I was going out there, you know, feeling a little bit like, I call myself a secular evangelist.
I think that's pretty much what you are, right?
Yeah. And you look at the evangelists, you know, out there, you know, who caught with their pants down or with, you know, schnaff going up there, you know, and you're like, this is because they...
like the story of my life.
I was like, he's talking about you.
But the thing is that these guys, they set up a high standard, you know, and that's what I feel. I feel like I was just with a bunch of guys today, you know, telling them that this is, in a way, you're saying this is the way to live.
Yeah.
And you're going, do I always live like that? Mm. You know, Candace knows something about my recent story. I mean, it's like, you know, life's a struggle for all of us. Yeah. We're all out there trying to do the best that we can do. And in fact, we teach that which we need best to learn.
Yeah.
So I'm going out there. I write my books primarily for me. You know, I write when I go, I need to understand relationships because, you know, I got to fix my relationship. So I need to understand my motivation. So I go there. I write that book primarily for me. And then the great privilege that I have is to actually go and get paid sharing that information with others. But does that mean that I'm living this all the time? No, I'm not living it all the time. And so sometimes I'd stand up and feel like a bit of a hypocrite. Like, you know, I'm giving you guys this stuff. And now I find myself increasingly revealing that vulnerability to audiences and saying, you know, just last week I went through a tough breakup and I kind of, you know, messed up there. Because I want them to know that life is messy and it's tough. And this idea that there's this perfection. And so for me, what Gurus was about is saying, let's just go back behind the scenes. Because I've seen, these are my friends and colleagues. Yeah, I can see quite frankly how, you know, how fractured their own lives are, you know. And I wanted to share that with people. But at the same time, say, you know, don't dismiss us as hypocrites. Just know we're out there struggling as well. But, you know, we're doing the best that we can. And we found some things that work, and, you know, for us. And we want to share it with you.
For me, it sounds like, you know, like I always say, the best preachers are the ones that preach to themselves.
Yeah.
And if I ever, like, I'm on stage preaching myself, or if I'm giving, like, life lessons or whatever I'm speaking, I always think, if I was to talk to myself, what would I want to say to myself? And halfway through, you realize, shucks, this is the advice I should be taking. But I don't think necessarily that you have to be perfect to have a roadmap towards perfection. You know what I mean? Because we're all on a roadmap. Don't you feel that part of the journey of perfection is the actual journey?
I think it is. And I've become much more forgiving of myself, you know, with regards to that. Look, I don't think when she, you know, sometimes, and Candace is the queen of forgiveness. And I really am. I'm so inspired by your message.
Just be late one day for a dinner.
Well, you know, it's interesting you say it, because I also know about Candace's punctuality. And I actually felt a bit scum coming out today because I realized I said I was coming at 1:45. And I think I walked in at like 6 minutes to 10. Candace will be sitting there waving her fingers.
She was here an hour ago.
You guys are terrible.
Just in case she's late, she's probably an hour and a half.
But you know, I think, I mean, there's an interesting, you know, I know we're laughing about this, but there's an interesting paradox about that. Because at the same time, you know, you've spoken a lot about forgiveness.
Yeah.
And of course, forgiveness to me is just one of the most powerful life principles. And you also talk a lot about self-forgiveness.
Yes.
But that, and you'd think, oh, so, you know, this is an interesting point. So people think, I can't be self-forgiving. And self-compassion, by the way, which is another big, big field, you know, about, it's actually not about self-esteem. It's not about telling yourself how great you are. You know, we got Donald Trump doing that, and look at the state of, you know, Donald Trump, you know, it's not about puffing yourself up. It's actually about being able to say the humility of saying, you know what, I screwed up and that's okay. Yeah. Because if you have high self-esteem, you can't admit you screwed up.
Yes.
You've got to
pretend
you're perfect. So self-compassion is much more powerful. What I find interesting, Ken, about you is, I mean, you're saying, you know, on the one hand, you're about self-forgiveness, but you also have very high standards for yourself.
I do.
And I think sometimes people think self-compassion, self-forgiveness means you'll drop your own standards.
Yeah.
You've got incredibly high standards. And I think that's the point, is that you can have very high standards and also acknowledge that on the odd occasion, other human beings other than Candace will actually slip up on those standards. And they've got to be able to say, it's okay, you know, let me learn from it. And, you know,
he's been waiting for this.
You see, I told you, Candace. This is like when you're in counseling, like, you just go there and say, yeah, you see, she's wrong.
The problem
with this relationship is her. If she would just get it together,
if she would stop being so damn perfect.
Exactly. Well, of course I make mistakes, dog.
Wow, guys,
you know.
I'm a rare breed, so. Of course,
you are.
I'm teasing.
You are. No. It's a true story.
No, but what I do love about the book, T, and obviously you're going to read it as well, is the idea that each expert has so much knowledge to give. And they do change people's lives because people choose to take this journey. It's not like they impose themselves into people's lives. People choose to take this journey with them. They change their lives. And sometimes in the journey of changing someone else's life, you change your own. You know, so that's another thing I like about the book, that just because you are teaching something through someone else's journey, you start looking in the mirror because it's like, wow, I taught you. I didn't teach you this, but I gave you the tools to fix this.
Yeah.
And I'm going to use the same tools to fix my own life.
And you know, the two approaches that I've taken in the different books that I've written is that, you know, is a fiction or nonfiction. Mm. You know, I love the quote about story, that stories are the lie that reveal a deeper truth.
Okay. Mm.
And so what you can do, what I did with Quest Inc. Yes. And if there's a TV show which will be called Gurus, is it was fiction. But I was able to, with fiction, as you of course know, you're able to then concentrate, focus, cut out, you know. I'm not saying you can't do that with nonfiction, you can do it as well, but obviously nonfiction, you're dealing with reality, and that's what we do on CNBC Africa tonight, 9:15, where I actually talk to, so this is gurus, but the actual gurus, these are the, you know, real life, and that's just having a conversation, you know, firstly we see them in front of a live audience, and then I, you know, what we're doing right here. I sit down, we have a chat, and I probe it a little bit deeper. And because a lot of these guys are my friends and colleagues, I'm able to dig a little deeper. And I, you know, it's interesting. I mean, my second interview was with a great friend and colleague, Michael Jackson, the living Michael Jackson.
The people are like, you brought Michael Jackson to life?
Is this John Edwards or is this gurus, you know? Yeah. But, you know, I just loved what Michael did. I mean, Michael's a guy who's worked with Richard Branson. Nelson Mandela called him a national treasure.
He's also a famous businessman in his own right.
Exactly,
Africa, right?
Exactly.
And around the world,
you know, and you got, in fact, Michael does say he's on Cliff Central. I think So, I mean, you got Michael saying, you know, on the one hand, you can just have a conversation, you know, or you can kind of dig a little deeper. And it was just television gold where Michael goes, we're talking about change. And I'm saying, well, give us an example from your business. He's saying, well, when I lost the Virgin contract, you know, and he's talking about, you know, I used to fly, you know, first class with Richard, with the models, with the celebrities. And I thought I was the bee's knees, you know, and I thought that, you know, good was good enough, you know, and I'd keep doing what I did, you know, from the previous, you know, year. And at one point they said, no, dude, that's not good enough. And I lost that contract, you know, and it was, I just loved that here's the guru revealing that he really messed up, you know, and then we unpack it and say, well, what happened? Well, complacency, you know, just not, you know, actually lowering your standards, you know, not being willing to change.
But I want to ask you a question. I mean, as a life coach, do you struggle with this? Because I sometimes struggle with this. I believe as humans, we have a propensity to just want to be comfortable. Mm-hmm. You want to get to a point, like you can work out in the beginning, I'm working out hard, I'm pushing. And then you get to a point where your body's looking great. This thing is easy for you and you just want to maintain that. You're not now trying to take it to the next level, right? You just want to sit back every now and again, have some chips. Do you ever feel tired? And you're like, I need to take my own advice, but today I really just want to wake up late. I'm going to miss my gym session. I'm going to eat badly. I'm going to eat all the carbs.
Yeah.
And I'm probably going to get drunk and pass out.
You know,
I'm being extreme.
It's a great question. And there's a part I relate to and a part I don't. So, for instance, if you look at people, and I'm intrigued about how people, you know, create success for themselves and how they lose it as well. So what I'm being intrigued about is how people can be incredibly fit and healthy and have these great bodies, and suddenly you meet them later and they've lost it all. And you go, like, what happened there? Because, you know, if you've been in that habit for a long time, what did happen? Often what happened is they went on holiday, they got out of the habit, broke the habit, and never got back into it. And I found that interesting, because the truth is, when I'm on holiday, I am going for my runs every day, or I'm going to the gym every day. Now, you might think, oh, Justin, you're just so disciplined and you're so motivated. No, it's not that. It's if I don't, and I'm actually not very proud to say this. I wish it wasn't the case. If I don't, quite frankly, I don't feel as good. I just don't. You know, once you get into regular exercise, you know, you get the serotonin, the dopamine boost. It's a natural high.
Yeah.
You know, it's a natural high. That's what it is. In fact, one of the biggest cures for depression is exercise. Yeah. You know,
kids, if you're thinking of taking drugs, let me cut the middle man. You might just be okay the first time and then be chasing that high forever. But if you want the best high, just go for a run or work out with your friends.
You know,
really.
Totally. And if you're feeling stressed, I mean, it's the best stress management, because stress is adrenaline. Mm. And that adrenaline's pumping through you. And adrenaline wants you to fight or flight. But yes. we live these sedentary lifestyles where you can't fight or flight, you know. So you sit and you get more and more stress and stress and stress. And so you've got to give yourself a substitute fight or flight. Mm. So when you go run, when you go and exercise, you're getting the adrenaline absorbed into your muscles. Mm. So for me, I do this quite frankly because I have to. I do it more yeah. for my, it's not about vanity, it's about sanity.
Mm.
But I like that. Actually,
that's quotable, right? That's a tweet. Yeah.
Exercise, because it's not about vanity, it's about sanity.
Yeah.
Or in fact,
it's not about
be
vanity,
healthy.
Sanity. Yeah, I love that.
For your sanity and not for your vanity. I love that.
But you know, your other point, I that doesn't mean that I am not excessive at times and don't like a good party, you know, and I do. I mean, I think life, you know, has such immense joys, you know, to provide. And it's not all about fitting into some sort of daily cookie cutter style, you know, that in fact, yeah, absolutely. I just think with those parties, you know, you've also got to be aware of the consequences. Mm. And you got to say to yourself, yeah. you know, like, does it, you know, so everybody's drinking, you know, am I going to drink to excess? And then how am I going to feel tomorrow?
Yeah.
So for me, I'm not saying there aren't times I might go to excess, but you got to be conscious of what you're going to feel like tomorrow. Mm. And to me, it's that pain pleasure calculation. I'm all for pleasure, man. I love pleasure. Yeah. We all love pleasure.
Isn't that why we're doing what we do?
Of course yeah. we do.
To be successful, to
correct.
Get more pleasure.
Correct. It's just this, what I call, you know, there's sort of standard grade pleasure and high grade pleasure. And high grade pleasure is purpose. High grade pleasure is mission, you know. Not that I don't like standard grade pleasure too, you know, give yeah. me some fun, give me some party, yeah. give me, you know, so, but at the end of the day, it is about, what I find amazing is how people are prepared to sacrifice tomorrow for today. And by all means, live, you know, carpe diem, you know, carpe momentum, seize the moment,
yeah.
but don't sacrifice the next one. Don't sacrifice tomorrow. You know, that to me just seems silly. You know? Mm.
So when you go into, you know, as a speaker, when you decide you're going to be a speaker, an international speaker, what are some of the, like, what do you do? How you did psychology. So yeah. obviously, you know, something about human behavior, human thinking. But there are a lot of speakers out there who might, I'm going to say this the way it is, who have a lot of, I suppose, street knowledge, if you will. And I think we all have that
life
internal
knowledge.
Yeah, life knowledge yeah. and that wisdom that we all have. And people want to go out there and become speakers. What are some of the things that you'd say to somebody if they ever said to you, I want to become a speaker? Because it can't be easy either.
Sure. You know, I mean, this is, I'm hesitating because I always used to have a standard response and I'm now going, I can't do that same standard response anymore because what's happened is change. The world is looking very different just to me, to how it was looking a year ago. You know, I used to say to people, you know, focus on becoming a speaker, an author, write a book. I mean, I guess part of that's all still all true. In fact, let me just try and actually answer your question to anybody really does want this answer. I mean, look, if you want to be a speaker, you've got to have a message. You've got to have something to say. You've got to be relevant. That means you need to know your stuff. Be a content expert. What do you know about? If you want to get paid for it, then you've got to look at the corporate world and say, what does the corporate world need?
Yeah.
My passion's personal development. I want to help individuals unlock their potential. I realized that to do that, if I was going to get companies to pay me to do that, I needed to be relevant to them. What do companies want? Companies want a more motivated team. They want to raise performance. They want, it's about sales, customer service, leadership. So those things, yeah. I took my message, which quite frankly, don't tell my clients this,
okay.
it's really just personal development. If I went to my clients and said, I'm doing personal development, they'd say, next?
Yeah.
Because they're like,
yeah.
personal is fine. You can do that in your own
yeah.
time, you know, but if you're coming here, we want you to be better leaders, better salespeople, better at customer service. And what I realized was so much of what I teach in personal development totally applies there. You've just got to angle it and you've got to craft that message. So, you know, your first thing is, Connie, you can't just do this like anything. I don't think you'd just be doing anything for the money. I know people think, you know, we do get paid well. It's true. We do get paid well for an hour of our time. But I tell you something, if it was all about money, I would probably do something else. I actually think there's probably, for me, there's not easier ways because this isn't about hard, easy. This is my passion. This is my love. But if you just were out money, there's probably other ways to make money that'll. But if this is your passion and you've got something to say, you've got to know what it is. You know, you've got to figure that out. I like to ask the question, what do you want your audience or your reader, if you're writing a book, what's that one thing you want them to know or do differently after this presentation or book? What is that key message? And maybe you don't know exactly what it is right now, but you better get clear about that at some point. And then, of course, it's about what you say and how you say it.
Mm.
And how you say it, truthfully, I wish it wasn't the case, but it's probably more important.
Because
there are many people with a message, they're university lecturers who will never get onto the speaking circuit because they don't have what we call the platform skills. So, you know, that's where drama, you know, to me, sure, that was a big, big help for me because, you know, being able to learn to communicate, entertain, humor. Mm. You know, you think, you want to see great talks, go to TED, TED.com. Yeah. The best talks in the world are TED Talks. And if you look at the TED Talks that have been most successful, and I would say anyone wants to be a speaker, you should be watching lots of speeches. If you want to be a football player, watch lots of football and get on the field.
Mm.
If you want to be a great speaker, watch lots of great speeches and do lots of speeches. And you're going to need to do them for free initially because nobody's going to pay you. In fact, they're probably not going to want you to come for free because they're going to say, we've got time and our time is more valuable than our money.
Yeah.
But you better find ways. And if you know, what I did in the beginning, I did a lot of free speeches to no one, to the mirror. I did them at home. I used to just practice. So if you can't get an audience, pretend there's one in your room.
Yeah.
Okay.
Mm.
And just get the experience of talking. We've all got YouTube now. You've got an audience. Just make YouTube videos. Put the stuff out there. Guess what? It's going to be crap at first. It's not going to be great. But you get good by doing. That's the way to get good. So you want to just get used to doing that. I promise you, my first ones were awful, you know, but the more I do, the better I get.
Mm.
So just do. And then I would say to you, the way the world is change. So also Professional Speakers Association of Southern Africa, PSA Southern Africa, great. I'm a very, very proud founding member. Check them out.
Okay.
Toastmasters is pretty good in terms of getting experience of speaking. Once you're ready, but do not contact them now because they will shoot me. Unique Speaker Bureau. Unique Speaker Bureau is one of the top speaker bureaus in the world and they represent speakers. So when you're ready, but they're going to say to you, where's your website? Where's your demo video? Probably where's your book?
Yeah.
So you don't even want to contact them until you are, you know, you've got something that you convince is great.
Yeah.
You know, and then that's getting into the business of speaking.
And I think one last thing, and you didn't want to plug yourself, but I think your book, The Astonishing Power of Story, I think people should probably read that. You
I
know,
want
because
to get that book too. I'm gonna go get that book.
Wow.
I'm not asking you to give me the book. I wanna go get that book. Because as we all know, you value something that you went and actually got for yourself.
No, but can I tell you about that book quickly? Can I tell the listeners about that book?
Thank you.
I think the book, the great thing about the book is that it tells you. You are so excited. Your face is like a Christmas. Thanks, JC.
Yeah.
So that book, actually, the one you're holding in your hands, it's called The Astonishing Power of Story. And basically, Justin starts the book off with stories, but he also goes on to tell you how to craft your own story. And
master the ultimate form of
Could
influence.
You keep quiet?
sorry. Go ahead.
So at the end of the book, he actually tells you how to craft your story because all of us have a very deep personal story that I'm sure the world could benefit from. But if you're not telling it in a way that people want to listen, then, well, it's just not going to grab people.
Mm.
So I think that's why people really need to get
and
this book.
And here's why you should get this book. Because in The Astonishing Power of Story, you will discover why stories are the most powerful form of influence, how to use stories to lead, sell, persuade, and teach, how your personal story gives birth to your destiny, and how the way to think, speak, and act out better stories. Get The Astonishing Power of Story today.
I love it when you do those. And you didn't even have to pay him to do that.
Wow, that was fantastic.
No, I wanted to do that as a freebie because it's like, I mean, people need to get this book, man. I mean,
they really do.
You know, sometimes we have these people around us that live amongst us, right? And we just don't pick up from them what we need. And I think there's this phenomenon that, you know, we have these great South Africans who are with us.
Mm.
But then you have to go all the way to America, be lost to us for 10, 20 years.
Mm,
and then
back.
We're like, oh, Justin, we want you back. But we had you the whole time. We're like, Justin, who? JC. You like JC, but only JC. Like JC LaRue. I don't even like JC LaRue. I prefer Vev Clipo.
Wow.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah,
no, but it's
how
very
we
true.
Do.
But
you
it,
know?
It ties into, because, I mean, we're doing these series on how to help people improve their lives and just live better, you know, not intentionally, but that's what we do. Doing.
Mm.
And I think the one thing people need to understand is you need to go out and actually want to change. You know, we can give you all the resources. We can tell you, get this book, get that, get this. But you have to firstly be willing to spend your money to improve yourself, you know. And also, if you can't spend your money, Google. There are free universities. MIT's got a free university online, you know. So always be looking for knowledge to craft your story, because I think sometimes what I've come across, people ask me, how do you become a speaker? And I'm not even JC level, so.
But here's the thing, right?
Just to say, sometimes people want their story to be told, but they just don't want to work at it. They think they just want to get on stage and speak and then, you know, get paid for it. But it takes art. It takes practice.
It's 10 years to create an overnight success. And another guy you should look at to speak to is a hero of mine who we've had on Gurus. He was on the second episode. Is Sipiwe Moyo. So Sipiwe is just, so this is a guy from Orange Farm who's, I would say right now, is probably the busiest speaker in the country. And when you talk about international and local, and I've seen a lot of top international speakers. I've seen speakers getting paid $20,000 an hour. Let me tell you something.
They weren't that great.
Absolutely.
Some of them were amazing.
And some of them are not.
But some of them, why do we get this guy over here?
Absolutely. Sipiwe is, his message is so profound, and he's so funny and so inspiring. And it's a message about, it's called get over it, you know, and it's about just getting over it. Like, it's about the culture of entitlement, that people should give this to me because I've got a degree, you know, or because I'm privileged, or because I'm lacking in privilege, because I'm black, because I'm white, because I'm male, because I'm female, you know. And it's about, you know, Ken, I know this is very important to you as well, you know, it's about that personal responsibility. But this is a guy, only he can deliver this message, because this is a guy who came from Orange Farm. He knows how tough that struggle is. And is saying, you know what, guys, sometimes it's not racism, sometimes it's not sexism, sometimes it's you. You know.
I was waiting for something else.
You almost fell off your chair. We've got 5 minutes to you. You still wanted to ask a question.
I wanted to ask this question, okay? You speak about influence a lot. And what is influence to you, Justin? Because a lot of us think influence is, I'm just going to post this, I was on holiday in Thailand. But what is influence to you?
That's an interesting question. I suppose, you know, I think it give you a little bit of a sort of a basic definition. I suppose it's really the extent to which you can move someone. You know, I use the term social motivation. Your ability to motivate yourself. That's something I've been obsessed with for a long time. Self-motivation, because that's the key to success, by the way. Harvard University study shows the single most important key to success. Not talent, not intelligence, not, cultural background. It is how motivated you are. You can be a state-of-the-art Ferrari, you've got no fuel, you're not going anywhere. You know, it's the fuel, it's that motivation that moves us. Now, in answer to your question about influence is what I would call social motivation. So self-motivation, can you influence yourself? Can you do it? And people say, yeah, of course I can. Oh, really? Ever had a New Year's resolution you never accomplished? That's a failure of self-influence. That's a failure of self-motivation. Whoa. We've all been there. We've all been there. And, you know, we can talk about how we overcome that. But your point about influence in the traditional sense is, how do we motivate others? You know, and how able are you to motivate others to employ you, to promote you, to be your friend, to marry you? You know, how able
we should actually have a whole show on that.
I'm being pretty good at the last one.
Three times.
and that comes down to, and I'll give you one quick principle. I mean, there's a number, but for me, it comes down to this. You can measure your social motivation in how effective you are in moving other people to do what you want done. Now, there's a principle of social motivation that I have, and it goes like this. You can get almost anything that you want from people, because that's really what this is about, right? Can I get them to promote me, to do business with me, to be my friend? You can get almost anything you want from people. If you help them get what they want. If you help them get what they want. So as Einstein said, don't try and be a person of success, be a person of value. When you are in the world providing great value, doing fabulous shows like this, keeping people entertained and laughing and thinking and having these incredible guests on your show.
Incredible.
When you are doing
world class.
When you're doing that on a regular basis, when you're bringing value into the world, success will come to you. And so that is your way to influence others. It's be a person of value. Stop sitting back waiting people to give. There's a law of the universe. The best way to get is to give. Unfortunately, when people hear that is the best way to give is to give, to get is as give as little as possible. You want to get more, you need to give more. Give more. Raise it up. Give more. And guess what? It's the gift is in the giving. Because the actual process of creating and giving is such a turn on when you actually do it. You're going to have so much fun. But people are going to look to you and say, who do you want on your team? Some person is always a taker or a giver.
Oh, you made me want to go all King James
right?
on this. God is not mocked. For as a man so shall he
took
reap.
Us to church.
I love that. I had that. That totally was like right out of Quentin Tarantino from Pulp Fiction. Remember?
Yeah, you guys quoted me out of the studio.
All right, we're out of here. Yes. Thank you so much for being here. Guys, if you want to get this, keep listening to this podcast again and again. Otherwise, where can we find Justin?
You're asking me.
www.justinpresents.com. In fact, if your listeners go to www.justinpresents.com, sign up for my blog, they will be able to download my free. Yes, free.
Free?
Today only.
What?
And that's not all.
And there's more.
Five point personal power plan, right. Which they will be able to download.
And if you just want to follow him on Twitter, he is at Justin Presents. And I think that's the same on Instagram as well, at Justin Presents. All right, we're out of here. Thank you so much, Fanny, for being fabulous.
Oh, thank you, for acknowledging my fabulousness.
No, I can't do this without you.
Thank you, Justin, for being
thank
in the studio. What a fun
me.
Interview.
Thank you.
Bye.
Thanks, guys. Bye. CliffCentral.com.